Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, commencing with the 25th verse, where we read, "A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying unto him, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This lawyer was one that was accustomed to teach the people the law. He knew the law perfectly, and therefore he is called a lawyer in this text. He came with a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? A question which concerns each and every one of us. That should be the most important thing in which we should endeavor in all means and in all ways possible to know how that we shall be happy in the world that is to come. For there is no true happiness to be found in this world. A certain rich young man came to Christ with the same question, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Christ directed this young man to the law, and he spake to Christ and said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And when Christ commanded him to sell everything that he had and to give everything that he had to the poor, he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Here Christ speaks unto this liar and says unto him, "How readest thou? What sayest the law?" Christ directed this lawyer to the law. He was acquainted with it. He was conversant with it. And he taught others what they should do. He came with this question, tempting Christ. It was a very good question, but it came in an ill way. He meant it entirely wrong. He meant by this question to tempt Christ to find out whether he had any other way whereby they could inherit eternal life. Any peculiarity amongst the ways which they had and which they taught. And if so, he would expose him. Or if he had another doctrine, he likewise would expose him in that. And if he had no other way, then he would ridicule him because they had been teaching the people by the law that there was salvation to be obtained. Therefore, he came not in the right way. But his question concerns you and I. Have you ever put that question, not to any lawyer, but to the Lord himself? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? It is a very serious question and most important. And there is a great prize attached to that question, eternal life. Where on the other hand, the only alternative is everlasting punishment. Should not you and I then endeavor to know what we must do to inherit eternal life? Can we do anything to inherit this? Who purchased eternal life? It is the blood of Jesus Christ which has purchased this wonderful prize. He has merited it by his suffering and death And this he bestows graciously without any money and without any price. The Lord Jesus directed then this lawyer to the law. And this lawyer, he gave him a very good answer. How readest thou? What sayest the law? And he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Here we have the two most important commandments upon which all the rest are builded upon. This answer the lawyer gave to Christ. And Christ spake to him and said, Thou hast answered well. Do this, and thou shalt live. If then this lawyer wanted to have eternal life, then he must keep these two important commandments which he had spoken of. Can anyone keep these commandments? Has anyone ever of the human race outside of Christ kept these commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength and thy neighbor as thyself. There is not one human being that is born in this world that loves God. We are all born in sin, and in and through sin we hate God. We stand up against God. We rebel against Him. And likewise, we have no love, no affection for our neighbor. We hate our neighbor as well. This is the condition of each and every being that's born in this world. And when God creates us anew, then we receive a principle which wishes and desires, and to a certain extent keeps part of every one of the commandments of God. There is a small beginning in the heart of that person who has received a new life to live according to all the commandments of God. I would call upon those in my midst, is it not your desire that you could love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? And at the bottom of your heart there is this desire, I know. God has planted it there. He is the object of your affection. Oh, could you but live as he commands you to do so in his word. It is when this love is shed abroad in our hearts, then only can we love God in return. We love him because he first loved us. This lawyer, he gave this wonderful answer, but Christ spake to him and said, Do this. Now he knew when Christ said this to him that he could not fulfill these commandments, that he had never fulfilled them, that he did not love God as he had said, and that he loved not his neighbor either. And therefore, willing to justify himself, he spake and said, Who is my neighbor? In other words, he passed by the great commandments of loving God as if he had kept them. And his question was, Who is my neighbor? He willing to justify himself. He did not want to be guilty. He did not want to come to Christ and say, I never kept them commandments. I never loved God as I said, and I never loved my neighbor as I should. I'm a guilty sinner. Where can I find forgiveness? Oh, which way, what must I do, shall I be saved? No such things did we hear from this liar. But he, willing to justify himself, and my hearers, this is what each and every one of us do by nature. We justify ourselves. We never condemn ourselves and justify God. But we try to justify ourselves in everything that we do. And we would evade coming in guilty, falling down before God as a condemned criminal and seeking forgiveness in and through the blood and righteousness of Christ. Oh, how many justify themselves. Oh, we are like the Pharisee that went up to the temple. He justified himself. He wasn't like the other man that was in the back of the temple. And that's down in the bottom of mine and your heart. We are better than the next one. We would justify ourselves. Other creatures, they are not like we are. This liar tried to justify himself likewise and said, who is my neighbor? Amongst the Jews, my hearers, they believed that their race and their people were their neighbors. But the Gentiles, they had nothing to do with them. They were taught even by the lawyers and by the Levites that if a Gentile was in trouble, that he was wounded in battle, that he came into an accident, and they seen him laying in distress, it was not necessary for them to go and help such a person, nor to open up their wallet and supply what he financially would need. These Jews then only believed that their race of people were their neighbors. They were then selfish creatures. Selfishness is a great sin, my hearers, and that prevails amongst us likewise. Just like the Jews, we think that we only have to help those that we know, who are of our own nationality, who go to our own church, and who we like, and who we think we should help. But others, we would not so much as stretch out a hand to assist them. And we are no better than the Jews in this respect. And how necessary then it was for Christ to uncover what the Jewish people were being taught and what they did. And therefore, when he was asked, who is my neighbor? Christ commences with a fact, with a narrative. Some say it's a parable, but it's not a parable. It's something that actually happened and was experienced. Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as he was traveling, he fell among thieves. And these thieves, they stripped him of his raiment, and they wounded him, and they left him lying half dead. This going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, there was a road which went from these two cities. Jericho was just as important in the time of Christ as Jerusalem was. Thousands of priests lived in Jericho, and they used to travel back and forth on this road to Jerusalem, to and fro. This road was called the most dangerous road in Palestine. It is called by one commentator the Bloody Way, because so many murders took place. So many people lost their lives on this particular road. Those that traveled, they were to take with them weapons and to have guards along with them. Otherwise, they were in danger of being attacked by bandits, by robbers. Who these robbers were, the commentary says, that they were either Jews or Romans or Samaritans. This road was very dangerous to travel on. The condition of it made it very accommodating to the bandits that sat alongside of this road. There were many rocks and crevices and places that they could conceal themselves. And when travelers came along this road, they unexpectedly came out upon them, attacked them, and they took everything from them that they had, and they wounded them, and some of them they killed. Therefore, Christ is speaking about this road that goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He speaks about a Jew, a businessman, a man that was traveling. And as he was traveling, these bandits came out and assaulted him. They stripped him of every piece of clothing that he had and took all the money that he had. And they wounded him so severely that he was lying on the ground in a half-dying condition. In what a miserable state then was this poor man. He probably was groaning and he was bleeding to death. And I'm sure he was hoping and praying that someone would come along to assist him and help him in the dire need that he was in. And as he was lying there, Jesus said, there went by a priest who saw this man. He saw the condition that he was in, but instead of going to him, he went to the opposite side of the road, and he looked at him, and he passed on. Never went to him, never put his hand out to help him. Now these priests and Levites, they were taught that they were to help the people. They offered up sacrifices for the people. They instructed the people out of the law, and they taught them to do good. How contrary to what this priest taught the people was he himself. In Exodus 33, we read that Moses taught the people that if their enemy's ox or ass went astray, or if he broke his leg and was laying underneath his burden, they were to go to their enemy's ox and ass and to assist that animal. How much more then, when a human being is lying in such a condition, should this priest go to this man? But he did not. Likewise, a Levite went by, and he likewise did as this priest had done. How sad was then the condition of these two priests and Levites in leaving such a man helplessly lying there. This shows us how selfish these creatures were. Selfishness, I said, prevails amongst mankind. And now because they would have to go over to that man, they would have to assist him, they would have to help him, that would be a little trouble, and probably they would have to carry him somewheres, rather than be in trouble, and rather than assist him, they just looked and walked by. Are we any different, my hearers? What would be the case with us? Suppose we seen someone like this man lying at the roadside, wounded, bleeding, not knowing how he got that way. Would your first impulse be to go to that person to help him? Oh, how we would shut up sometimes our bowels of mercy and our pity and our compassion, and we would turn and look and go the other way rather than help, rather than be brought into trouble. We are not any different than this priest and this Levite was. And how sad it is, my hearers, that even ministers, professors of Christianity, they even likewise are like this priest and this Levite. Christ is teaching us here who our neighbor is. He brings forth now a Samaritan. The Samaritans, they were hated. They were despised by the Jews. They were a race of people that they abhorred. They even called Christ many times a Samaritan. This was common language for the Jews. And now here comes a Samaritan. And as he is traveling along this road, he sees this man lying at the side of the road, helpless, wounded, bleeding, groaning, and his bowels of mercy and compassion within were stirred. He stopped the animal he was riding on, he got off it, and he went to this man lying in this helpless condition. And he took hold of him. He probably spoke to him and asked him how he got into that state. And then he went and he bound up his wounds and he poured in oil and wine. And after he had done this, he assisted him and put him upon his own animal, upon his beast, and he took him to the nearest inn. And when he got to this inn, he put him in a room. He seen that he had the proper food, and he stayed there with him probably all night. He probably even prayed for the man. And the next morning, he spake unto the landlord of the inn and said unto him, "Here is 2 pence. Whatever now expense you have with this man, pay it out of this. And if there is any more expense, when I come back, I will pay the rest." And so this Samaritan departed. And Christ, he says unto this lawyer, "Who now of these 3 was neighbor unto the man that fell among the thieves?" This lawyer, he did not want to say the Samaritan. They would never take that name on their lips, the Jews. But he said, I guess, the one that showed mercy to him. And Jesus said unto him, "Do thou likewise." My hearers, this teaching us who our neighbor is, Christ bringing forth this Samaritan, teaches us likewise that regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of who the creature may be, he or she is our neighbor. And we should do likewise as this Samaritan did. How many, my hearers, are like the priest and the Levite? Many people, even in this world today, are very benevolent. There are various organizations set up to help people who have been stricken with polio. We have a heart fund. We have a cancer fund. We have people sending in requests for the blind. There are various diseases in the world that we are fighting, and we contribute to these funds. And many people contribute. Even when they pass away, they leave part of their money to such places that take care of those people that have been afflicted in this world. And now, when we know someone that is afflicted, that is in need, that would need our attention, that would need our assistance, to whom we would have to dig down into our pocket and take out some money to help them, we point them to these organizations. Why don't you go there? They'll help you. Is that proper? Is that what Christ taught in his parable? I know these organizations are good. I know the people that contribute to them are good doing so. But Christ teaches us here who our neighbor is, that we should not, to avoid trouble, to avoid our own expense, send them to such organizations. How often is that not done in the days in which we live? How many children who have been born and brought up by their parents, the cares, the trials, the sicknesses, the afflictions the children have had while they were young, the parents had to bear with them. And when they grow to maturity and they're able to support themselves, what do we see a lot of children doing when their parents become of age and cannot work anymore? When they are diseased and afflicted and they need the tender care of their children, how many children shed up the bowels of their compassion, even for their own parents? How many of them put them in institutions they can't be troubled? They don't want to assist them. It's easier that way. Don't cost me too much. Is that what Christ taught us in this parable? You may say, Mr. Van de Wendel, what are you trying to bring before us? Oh, I'm trying to bring before you that we are just like these Jews, just like this priest and this Levite. Oh, we are so selfish. We have no heart. We have no pity. We have no compassion towards our fellow mankind, even if they are our own relatives. I do not say that everyone is that way. There are many cases, thanks be to God, that children would not want anyone to help, that they would take it upon themselves to assist their parents. And this is proper and right, and God's blessing will rest upon it. But, as I have said, there are many cases just the opposite. And now, my hearers, he says unto this lawyer, do thou likewise. And this comes to me and you. Oh, let us not shut up the bowels of pity and compassion. How often we do this? Oh, he's no relative to mine. What do I care about him or her? Oh, my hearers, if we were anything like Christ, then we would go to such people and try to assist and help them. Or he is the Good Samaritan. How many instances have we not in the Bible of Christ going to people that were in distress, that were blind, that were maimed, or that needed help, and they did not even ask him for help? Just as last week we were speaking to you about the blind man. He never asked Christ to open his eyes, but Christ went to him and performed as the Good Samaritan to him. Oh, that we could imitate Jesus Christ more and more in this world. The reason that we do not imitate him is that we have not his Spirit dwelling in us. When his Spirit comes into our hearts, then, my hearers, there will be this in us, that the wonder that we sinners have obtained mercy, that he has loved us regardless of our sins, and that he has delivered us from our sins, then truly, under a feeling sense of this grace and this mercy, we will be filled with pity and compassion, even naturally to help others, but more so spiritually, realizing the condition that so many sinners are in. Oh, we would like to speak a word to them. We would like to direct them, as black and as filthy and as vile and as polluted as they are, regardless of race, creed, or religion. We would send them to Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan. My hearers, there is also another lesson to be learned out of this, a very instructive lesson. The commentary teaches that this man that fell among the thieves was Adam. Adam was created in a state of righteousness. He was clothed with the cloak of innocency. But the great robber of mankind, the greatest thief, Satan, he came and he stripped him of that cloak of innocency and of righteousness which Adam had. And he wounded him. He left him lying in his sins, polluted in his blood. It says here, this man was lying half dead. My hearers, we are not half dead, but we are twice dead in and through the deep fall in Adam, dead in sins and in trespasses, and without strength and unable to return to God. And now we have this sinner lying in this condition, in Christ Jesus, the Good Samaritan. He looks down from heaven upon him. The priest and the Levite, which teaches us the law and the Levitical dispensation, could not do anything for us. They have no pity, no mercy upon us. But Christ was moved from all eternity to come and to save such wretched sinners who have fell away from God and who are lying wounded in their blood. And my hearers, he pours in oil and wine into the wounds that the Spirit of God has made in the hearts of such sinners. All this oil is a type of the Spirit of God, and this wine is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to experience this actually in our own lives. I wonder if there is any one of my hearers who has, while I've been speaking about this person falling among the thieves, being wounded, being stripped, lying in this miserable condition, have you pictured yourself as such? He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's a type of a child of God who has left God, who has backslidden from God. And Satan, with temptations such as the world, such as sin, such as the flesh, tempting such a creature, has stripped him of all the liveliness and of all the feeling that they have had towards God. And they feel themselves as if they are dead, just like Haman. He felt himself to be as if he was dead. He says, "Shalt thou do wonders unto the dead?" And my heavens, when a child of God is in that position, then they fear that they never shall be restored. They fear it's a lost matter, it's undone. They have departed soul. They could not believe that ever he would have pity or compassion upon them. But wonder of wonders, the Lord looks down from heaven upon such. Or he comes and he has pity and he has compassion upon them. Has he ever had that on you? Have you ever felt that way? And have you ever been under the means of grace, reading the Bible? Have you ever been walking the streets, probably at your work? You were such a miserable creature. All the wounds that sin had made, no one could heal. Oh, there was no hope for you. Oh, what would become of the likes of you? And suddenly, some scripture verse came to your soul. And all you began to see that there was a way of escape even for such a creature like you. The scripture pointed you to Jesus Christ, the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, the great physician who is able to heal all the wounds that sin has made. Oh, what a wonderful sight this is, my hearers. This man lying there, he did not expect anyone to help him. He expected to perish. So it may be with you. But lo, this precious Christ, he came and he lifted you up. He encouraged you. He gave you a hope that your soul would be saved, that your sins would be pardoned. Oh, he set you to seeking him. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, in this life. If we experience the good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, coming to us and comforting us, encouraging us, lifting us up, and giving us a hope which shall never be made ashamed of. My time is gone again, my hearers. This is all for today. The Lord bless what has been spoken to your immortal souls.